Hello, ladies. I'm excited to be with you here today as we dive into God's Word together. Many of you already know me, but for those of you who don't, we haven't met yet. My name is Lori Musso, and I'm an 18-year WBS veteran. Yeah! I have the joy of serving as a shepherd leader and the class coordinator for the evening and Zoom WBS cohorts, so I'm usually here at night. I've been happily married to my husband for 36 years, and together we have three daughters, two sons-in-laws, and one absolutely adorable two-year-old grandson who has totally stolen my heart. When I'm not spending time with family and friends, you'll likely find me hula dancing, reading, studying God's Word, and saying yes to dessert every single time. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you as women seeking to be in your presence. Help us to trust in your providence as we see your hand in our lives. We want to live as women whose lives are entrusted to your sovereign care. Please speak to us through your word and impress on our hearts your divine message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love a happy ending, don't you? I am thrilled to be sharing with you the ending to the book of Ruth. And what is most exciting about the happy ending for Ruth and Naomi is that it leads to our happy ending. It is remarkable how God uses ordinary lives to accomplish his extraordinary plans. Plans for good, plans for our redemption. Plans. For some of us, plans is a very exciting word. We love calendars and reminders. We plan for big events or small events with great fervor. We love a good flowchart or diagram. We have monthly planners, weekly planners, daily planners, and now you can even have minute-by-minute planners. We plan to take the route that it has the least amount of traffic. Some of us even Google the exact time where the sun will dip low enough that it won't be in the glare of our windshield anymore. Some of us write lists, and our lists have lists. So, and now that we're immersed in the digital age, we could do all this on the phone. Heaven forbid you lose your phone. Well, even if you aren't an extreme planner, you like to know what's happening next. We don't like it when our carefully planned plans don't go as planned. In today's passage, we see that Naomi and Ruth faced an uncertain future. Yet they placed their trust in God and his providence over their lives. In the same way, we are called to trust God with our own futures, knowing that he is in control and his plans are always good and always right. So I've broken our passage up into two divisions. Division one, abundance for Ruth and Naomi, empty to full. That's verses 13 to 17. And then division two, abundance for Israel and us, Jesus our Redeemer. Verses 18 to 22. All right, let's dive into this happy ending. In life at times, you can't really appreciate the fullness of your blessings unless you are remembering the emptiness of the past. So let's do a little recap on the book of Ruth. As you recall, in the first five verses of Ruth, we meet Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, as they leave Bethlehem and go to Moab because of the famine. Elimelech dies and leaves Naomi as a widow in a foreign land. Fortunately, she still had her two sons, and they both married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. They lived in Moab for about 10 years, and then both her sons died. Now Naomi is a widow and childless. The pain of losing your husband and both your children is unimaginable grief. On top of all of this, Naomi is in a foreign land. Moab was a place that worshipped many gods and not the true God of Israel, Yahweh. Naomi was empty and bitter to the point of being wanted to call a different name, Mara, meaning bitter, instead of her own beautiful name, which meant pleasant. The pain of the deep grief she was experiencing overwhelmed her, and she thought God had forsaken her. She now found herself without a husband and sons and the responsibility for caring for two foreign daughters-in-law, without any means to provide for them or herself. She was living in poverty, both physically and spiritually. Ruth also experienced emptiness. She too was a childless widow, and now it was her turn to live in a foreign land as she travels with Naomi to Bethlehem. What both women had was the faith to travel towards the one true God, even in their dark circumstances. As we finished last week's passage, God has provided Boaz as Naomi and Ruth's kinsman redeemer. So let's pick up where we left off last week in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. In his providence, the Lord brought Ruth and Boaz together as husband and wife. She was no longer Ruth the Moabitess, but now she was Ruth, Boaz's wife. Boaz and the whole community embraced Ruth because of her selfless love to her mother-in-law and for her steadfast faith in Yahweh. She turned away from the idol worship in Moab, and she turned toward the one true God. Not only did Ruth become Mrs. Boaz, but the Lord enabled Ruth to conceive and give birth to a son. What joy, what abundance! Ruth was a poor widow, and now she is a rich bride. She was an outcast Moabite, and now she is the favored wife of Boaz. She was barren, and now she has a son. God's grace has taken her from poverty to riches, outcast to family, barren to fruitful. God's plan was more than Ruth could ever have imagined. So let's go through some of the blessings that we talked about last week that are answers to prayers now at the end of the book of Ruth. So if we go back to Ruth 1, verses 8 and 9, then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Well, Ruth has done that. Ruth 2:12, Boaz to Ruth, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She has definitely been deeply rewarded. Ruth 2:20, this is about Boaz. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Certainly, Boaz has been blessed. And Ruth 3:10, this is Boaz to Ruth again. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." The Lord took both Ruth and Boaz from their sorrow to joy in their unlikely marriage. God's plan for Ruth was beyond anything she could have imagined or hoped for. Ruth's steadfast love and loyalty remained strong even in the emptiest of times. She never gave up hope, and the Lord did not disappoint her. He always had a plan for Ruth, even though she couldn't see it. Ruth couldn't see God's plan for her life. However, she put her faith in Naomi's God, Yahweh. She showed loyalty and love to Naomi, and she remained faithful to what she had promised Naomi. We see God's providence in Ruth's unselfish life all over this book. What about when she happened to go to Boaz's fields to glean? And she found favor with Boaz. We see God's hand in bringing her to Boaz, a man of integrity and kindness, who was willing to act as her kinsman redeemer. We also see God's hand in the fact that the closer kinsman redeemer was unwilling to be her kinsman redeemer. Say that fast 6 times. Ruth's sorrow at being childless may have been God's protection over her for his greater plan. Now the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she has a son. Ruth was now truly part of the Bethlehem community, no longer a Moabite outcast. Ruth's empty cup is now full and overflowing. Let's read verses 14 and 15. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." So these same women who wondered aloud back in chapter 1 if this was truly Naomi when she came back from Moab are now rejoicing in the Lord for Naomi. They recognize God's hand on Naomi. They recognize that she was empty, and now the Lord is filling her. The women are praising the Lord for providing a future guardian redeemer for Naomi. Up until now, we have seen Boaz as the guardian redeemer, but in this verse, the women are pointing to Ruth's son to be Naomi's guardian redeemer. They are praying that this newborn son becomes famous throughout Israel. They are also proclaiming that Ruth's son would renew Naomi's shattered life and he would sustain her in her old age. God isn't replacing Naomi's old life. Her sons are not coming back, nor will her husband rise, but he is renewing Naomi's life with this new life of her grandson. Where she had no future, she now sees a new future. Where she had been in poverty, now she is in abundance. Where she had lived in fear, she now has protection. The women are praising God and praying boldly. They are trusting God. These women remind me of our community here at WBS. We pray for each other. We pray for each other, with each other. We rejoice with each other. We grieve with each other. And we serve each other. What a gift that is that we have this community of women. Let's go on to the last part of verse 15. The women of Bethlehem praise Ruth by declaring that she is better to you than seven sons. Well, this statement carries profound significance in the Hebrew context. In the Old Testament, seven sons represented the pinnacle of blessing, honor, and fulfillment for a family. Sons ensured the continuation of a family's name, inheritance, and legacy. And the number seven symbolized completeness, perfection, and divine favor throughout Scripture. The women's declaration elevates Ruth to an extraordinary status. They are praising her for her unwavering loyalty, self-sacrifice, and devotion to Naomi. The women also remind Naomi that the Lord's hand has never left her, even in her bitter and empty seasons. Ruth has been God's instrument of presence and provision all along, walking with Naomi through loss into fullness. During Naomi's empty times, the waiting must have seemed unbearable at times. She's in a foreign land where they worship idols, yet she remained connected to Yahweh. You see this in the care of her daughters-in-law. We know she had to have shared her faith with them because Ruth declares that she wants Naomi's God to be her God. Naomi consciously tried to provide for these young women and therefore was headed back to Bethlehem where the famine had subsided. Naomi even unselfishly turned her daughters-in-law back to their land, knowing that the travel to Bethlehem would be difficult and also knowing that they would be foreigners in her land. The future did not look bright and the waiting seemed futile. Let's go on to verses 16 to 17a. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. What unspeakable joy Naomi must have had at the birth of her grandson. She had suffered three deaths and now finally knew life. This grandson would not replace her husband or her sons, but he would renew her life and bring her love and protection for the rest of her days. I understand Naomi's grief and I understand her joy. Our second daughter, Diana, was stillborn. The pain of her death is still raw, and she would have been 31 years old this December. When you go into the hospital to deliver a child you have waited for, dreamed of, and prayed for 9 months, you expect labor pain, but you do not expect grief. When you make that final push and your baby is born, you wait with expectant joy for her first cry. When instead what you receive is crushing silence, the grief is suffocating. You expect to be cooing and cuddling your newborn, not planning her burial. It is a time for lament. It is a time to cry out to God. It is a time for why. It is a time where you shed more tears than you could ever imagine you could. Unlike Naomi, my husband was there to console me and we had a daughter at home, Brianna. She needed us. This unexpected grief brought us to a deeper dependence on the Lord. The hurt was so deep. I did not want to try for any more children. I had been blessed with Bree and felt like she was more than enough. But God had another unexpected chapter for us. I was expecting again. I was afraid, I was anxious, and I was crying out to the Lord for protection. Then our daughter Marissa was born, healthy and crying out loud and strong. What a gift that cry was from the Lord. The Lord did not replace Diana. She will always be our daughter in heaven. But he did restore and renew us through Marissa. Marissa is now the mother of our only grandchild, Micah. And the unspeakable joy that this child brings to our family is beyond words. I think we have a picture. This is Marissa and Micah shortly when they came home from the hospital. In my plan, ladies, there would not be a Marissa, there would not be a Micah. God's plan is better. I want to show you Micah right now. Unspeakable joy. And then I want to talk about my abundance. Let me show you my family. My sons-in-laws, my two daughters, Micah, and my beloved husband. I have unspeakable joy and abundance. Only God knows the plans he has for us, and the waiting can be hard, but we are called to trust and obey. I love this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Perhaps you or a loved one is walking in a season of darkness, in moments of difficulty, infertility, disease, and even death. It is vital to remember that God is always at work. While we may not know what the future holds, we know who holds our future, and there is no shadow of change in him, our Savior. God's people live in a world where traumatic heartbreaks leave us shaken. Many of you are carrying incredible pain and quietly asking why God has not sent a resolution yet. Scripture reminds us that we live in a fallen world, and Jesus himself tells us, in this world you will have trouble. Some heartbreaks are not resolved in this life. I wish I could say to you that my life was all rosy right now, but our family is walking through a battle that we never wanted to face. My husband's terminal cancer diagnosis keeps us on our knees daily. And yet, we know God is with us every step of the way. His presence is our steady anchor and our unfailing source of hope. We see this hope in the book of Ruth. Now there is great rejoicing and abundance for Ruth and Naomi. The women of the town are celebrating and claiming that Naomi has a son. Why would the women say Naomi has a son and not a grandson? So remember, under Jewish law, this son would be Naomi's husband, Elimelech's legal heir, and he would carry on Naomi's family name. This son would bring back their family land and security. This child becomes Naomi's guardian redeemer. Naomi has gone from empty to not just full, but abundance. In the first part of verse 17, the women name the son Obed. This seems a little odd. The women of the community name the baby? This is the only place in the Bible where the baby is named by someone other than God or the parents. I can't tell you why. It's a mystery. The women name him Obed, which means servant. He will serve Naomi until the end of her days. It is also a prophetic name, as we will see a little bit later. I purposely left off the last phrase of the final sentence in verse 17 because it deserves a moment of its own. He, Obed, was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is a wow moment, ladies. The two very ordinary women remained faithful to Yahweh and each other, and they're in the line of King David. God's unseen providence in this story led to Ruth's son, Naomi's grandson, being in the line of David, Ruth, a Moabite, a foreigner, a childless widow, is used of God in such an impactful way. This leads us to truth number one. God will redeem my emptiness and sustain me in the waiting as he does a deeper work in me and fulfills his greater purpose in my life. Naomi and Ruth were ordinary women struggling under incredible heartbreak and poverty. They remained faithful servants, and look what God has done. It is more than they could ever imagine. They lived their lives in faithful obedience and never saw how much their lives mattered. They trusted God. He is always faithful. So let's ask ourselves where we sense emptiness or lack in our life right now. Are you living with loss, grief, or unfulfilled desires? Have you attempted to fill your own emptiness with things of this world and not God? What might it look like for us to remain faithful in this season, believing that God is accomplishing a greater purpose than beyond anything we can see? It is easy for us as women to lose sight of our worth in the sight of God. We may feel ordinary and see our discipleships to friends, families, or community as just regular. When we believe in God's plan for us, we never know how he will use us. I am sure Naomi and Ruth never understood the full impact of their ordinary lives and that it would end in being in the line of King David. While we may not contribute on such a grand scale, you never know. I want to tell you a story. Have you ever heard of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was an ordinary Sunday school teacher who eventually led Dwight L. Moody to Christ. Yeah. When Moody was 18, he worked as a shoe salesman in Boston. And one day he went to the Sunday school that Kimball was teaching. A week later, Kimball decided he would visit Moody in the store that he worked for and tell him more about Jesus' love for him and how he could know Jesus. Kimball says he felt like it was a really weak attempt, yet the Holy Spirit used him to bring Moody to Christ. D.L. Moody became one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of his time. Now, in one of Moody's speaking engagements in the British Isles, Moody led a young man to Christ and inspired him to become a preacher. That preacher, Pastor Meyer, came to Northfield, Massachusetts, where he inspired J. Wilbur Chapman to accept Jesus, and he eventually became one of the most effective evangelists of his time. A young man named Billy Sunday became a volunteer in Chapman's crusades and learned how to preach watching Chapman preach. Billy Sunday eventually took over Chapman's ministry and led thousands to Christ. During one of Billy's crusades, he invited the evangelist Mordecai Ham to come and preach. A curious 16-year-old was in the crowd that night. He was mesmerized by Pastor Ham's message, and he felt like Pastor Ham was shouting and preaching directly at him. That young man went forward at the altar call that night and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That young man was Billy Graham. Billy Graham has communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in history, and it all started with an ordinary Sunday school teacher named Kimball. Ladies, God can use us. We are all part of God's great plan, and we may never know the impact of our life as had went, but we can be sure if we follow God's will in our life, he will do more through us than we could have ever imagined or hoped for. God's plan will not be thwarted. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. Let's move on to division two. Abundance for Israel and us, Jesus, our Redeemer. In these verses, we have the genealogy of David. Now, ladies, I know that sometimes you come to a genealogy with all those complicated names and they're hard to pronounce and you skip over it. I've done it too. I will not be doing it anymore after this. Wow. What significance did you just go when you got to the end of it? It is God's master plan, and how ordinary people play a role in that is evidence in his providence in the genealogy. Let me read verses 18 to 22. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David. Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David, one of Israel's greatest kings and a man after God's own heart. But David was more than a remarkable ruler. God made a covenant with him, promising that his throne and kingdom would be established forever. As we read in 2 Samuel 7:16, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." This was not just a promise to David, it was a messianic prophecy ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22:16, Jesus himself declares the connection. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Just as the women of Bethlehem prayed, Obed became renowned, not for his own accomplishments, but because he stood in the lineage of the Messiah. Through Ruth's faithfulness and God's promise, the story points far beyond Bethlehem all the way to Jesus. This crucial genealogy traces the line from Perez, Judah and Tamar's son, down through Boaz and King David. This shows God's faithful continuation of his covenant promises. His chesed, it established David's royal bloodline as the promised king of Israel and links him to the Abrahamic covenant and the coming Messiah. God always has a plan. God doesn't abandon our emptiness, he redeems it. In our lack, he becomes our fullness, sustaining us by his grace and shaping our lives for a purpose far greater than ourselves. What feels broken or meaningless to us is often in the very place where God reveals his power and restores hope and calls us into his eternal design. I'm gonna say that one more time. What feels broken or meaningless to us is often the very place where God reveals his power, restores our hope, and calls us into his eternal design. He's shown this throughout the book of Ruth. The theme of redemption and inclusion of the Gentiles with Israel in Ruth's story ultimately leads to the sovereign Redeemer, Jesus, our Messiah. Let's look at chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, Messiah, son of David, the son of Abraham. This is significant because since Jesus is a descendant of both David and Abraham, Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies and the covenants God made with both David and Abraham. Let's go a little further, verses 5 and 6. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of King David. Wow, look who is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. Salmon and Rahab, Boaz and Ruth, Obed. They did become famous. Ordinary people, but God had an extraordinary plan for them. He used them for the ultimate plan for our redemption, redemption of Israel and the redemption of all of us. They turned their lives to the faithful service of Yahweh, and look how he used them. There are no accidents here. God has always had a plan for our redemption. In the book of Ruth, we see three guardian redeemers: Boaz to Ruth, Obed to Naomi, Jesus to every single one of us. The book of Ruth has many connections to Jesus, our Redeemer. A kinsman redeemer had to be a family member. Jesus became fully human while being fully God so that he could be our kinsman redeemer and save us. A kinsman redeemer had the duty of buying family members out of slavery. Jesus redeemed us from our slavery to sin. A kinsman redeemer had the duty to buy back the land that had been forfeited. Jesus redeemed the earth that man sold over to Satan. Boaz, as Ruth's kinsman redeemer, was not motivated out of self-interest, but by the love for Ruth. Jesus is motivated by his great love for us. Boaz, as Ruth's kinsman redeemer, had to have a plan to be able to redeem her. Jesus had a plan to redeem us. Boaz, as Ruth's kinsman redeemer, made her his bride. We are the bride of Christ. Boaz's Ruth's kinsman redeemer provided a glorious destiny for Ruth. Jesus, our Redeemer, provides a glorious destiny for us in heaven. Only Jesus, the eternal God, both fully human and fully God, can both be kinsman and the Redeemer for all mankind. God is in the business of restoring and redeeming the broken. Jesus died on the cross to redeem our broken relationship with God. Jesus chose us from before the beginning of time. The triune God loves us enough to redeem us even in our sin. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to atone for our sin. He has redeemed us from life unto eternity. Jesus has done it all, once and for all. Salvation is available to all. What is asked of us is to believe in Jesus, profess our faith, repent our sins and turn towards Jesus and seek his forgiveness. He freely gives. His mercy knows no bounds. We are daughters of the great Redeemer. And as if that were enough, God is not done with us yet. Jesus is coming back to restore all things to himself. Are you ready? This leads to truth number two. Just as Boaz redeemed Ruth, Jesus, the son of David, has redeemed me from sin and death. Jesus is our ultimate redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. I want to challenge those of you who have come to WBS seeking answers, questioning who Jesus is. We are so glad you are here, and Jesus is really glad you're here. Will you accept the gift of redemption he offers you? For those of you who already belong to Christ, how does being part of God's redemption plan inspire you to trust him and to serve others? How can all of us show trust and loyalty to Jesus in our own lives, especially when we don't know what's ahead? So we have come to the final chapter and the end of Book of Ruth. Through Ruth's faithfulness and through steadfast, redeeming faithfulness of our God, Naomi's family line is restored, leading to King David and ultimately to the Messiah. What began as a story of loss becomes a testimony that God's greatest blessings often come through unexpected people and sacrificial love. Naomi and Ruth could not have known in their darkest moments how God was writing their story, how sorrow would give way to joy and emptiness to abundance. They never knew this side of heaven, that God would use their ordinary faithfulness to bring the true once-for-all Redeemer, Jesus Christ, into this world. And just as God was not finished with their story, he is not finished with yours. Though we may not know all that he is doing, we do know how the story ends. Eternal life with him, secured by Jesus our Redeemer. Amen.